Chapter 18. Gareth. Gareth lay on the pallet he shared with Gwen, listening to her easy breathing. His mind turned with all the pieces of the puzzle they were trying to put together. It was only now that he remembered that he had never returned to Wenna's hut to look for more clues, nor had made a concerted effort to find Bricken among the crowd at Aber. Godfred's arrival, and his story of the Book of Kells, had put both concerns completely from his mind. Dawn was still some time off, but Gareth rose from the pallet, unable to lie still any longer. He glanced up at the big bed to make sure Mary remained asleep, and tiptoed to the door. Gwen rolled onto her side, murmuring in her sleep. He thought he saw a gleam which could have been her eyes opening, but then she closed them again, and he went out the door. The manor house in which they were staying consisted of four rooms on each of the two floors, for a total of eight, built around a central stair that was more of a ladder. The sole purpose of the manor was to accommodate the overflow of visitors from the castle. Since the manor was built outside the castle walls, it was vulnerable if an opposing army was ever to attack Eber, so it was unadorned, consisting of nothing more than the eight rooms. Gareth didn't think he had a war to worry about today. The border with Powys was quiet, and the Earl of Chester had his hands full maintaining his own lands without trying to push into Gwynedd. Coming downstairs from the front door, Gareth almost stumbled over the turnips piled on the steps. With Hollowmoss that night, the people had been getting ready for days. Before sunset, the turnips would be hollowed out and candles lit within them to guide the souls of the dead who had trouble finding their way to the next world. From the furor in the hall yesterday, it seemed many feared that Tegwyn would be among them. She would be buried in a few hours, which King Owain hoped would ease the people's anxiety. Gareth wasn't sure King Owain would even wait for Howell to return. The needs of the dead today superseded those of the living. Howell hated funerals anyway, and even if the investigation hadn't been urgent, Gareth wouldn't have put it past Howell to visit Bryn Éireann simply to avoid Tegwyn's interment. Gareth hated funerals too, though what was there to enjoy about them, really? This was one he couldn't avoid attending, but he could occupy himself in the meantime. The sooner he figured out who had murdered Tegwyn and Bran, the sooner he could begin the search for the Book of Kells. While far too many of the people who had known Tegwyn were already dead, he had a castle full of people to talk to today. He needed to find the one man who might know more than he was currently saying, maybe not because he was deliberately hiding something, but because he might not realize that bits of what he did know could be important. King Owain's longtime friend and steward, Taryn, bobbed to the top of Gareth's list. The king himself would still be asleep, presumably with Christina, though one never knew, but Taryn was an early riser. He was often up with the dawn, even in the summer. He'd been awake when Gwen had come to him the previous morning. He would be awake now. Gareth found him, as he thought he might, hard at work in King Owain's office off the Great Hall, going over the castle accounts. Gareth knocked on the doorframe, since the door itself was halfway ajar, and Taryn looked up. The smile that flashed across his face at the sight of Gareth turned wary within a single heartbeat.
"Hello, Gareth. Please tell me you aren't here to inform me of another death."
"No, sir," Gareth said.
"I'm delighted to see you, then."
Taryn pointed to the chair opposite his own on the other side of his table.
"How may I help you?"
"I want to tell you everything that I know so far about Tegwyn's disappearance and death, and Bran's for that matter, which is very little, and ask you to speak to me of what you remember of that time."
"We do have ourselves a puzzle, don't we?"
Taryn rested his elbows on the arms of his chair and clasped his hands in front of his lips.
"King Owain is greatly troubled by his niece's death. I will help you in any way I can."
Gareth took a moment to collect his thoughts and then said,
"It is my understanding that you were here and not in Powys at the time of Tegwyn's disappearance."
A distant look came into Taryn's eyes.
"That is correct. The king had gathered his nobles to him, and though I rode with him in the first forays, I returned to Aber after only a few weeks."
"Why was that?"
Taryn coughed, his expression reluctant.
"He was having domestic troubles, and needed someone he trusted here at Aber."
"He wanted you to keep an eye on Gwladys," Gareth said.
Taryn's expression cleared.
"How did you know?"
"I would prefer not to reveal that," Gareth said.
"Not unless I must." "Of course, of course."
Taryn rubbed at his forehead with the heel of his hand.
"Well, if it helps, I was here when Tegwyn ran away, died, I suppose. But I don't know how that helps you.
Gareth looked curiously at the old steward.
You loved Tegwyn?
Gwen had told him of Taryn's emotional reaction to her death.
I can hear it in your voice when you say her name.
She was a sweet little thing, growing up, Taryn said.
Were you in support of her marriage to Bran? Gareth said.
Not that it mattered now, but he was curious, given what they'd learned of Tegwyn's husband.
He was a second son, but a lord of Rhos nonetheless. He wasn't my first choice, but I didn't know what I know now, or what I learned of him after her marriage.
Taryn's jaw firmed at the memory.
He didn't love her, Gareth said.
Did he hurt her?
Taryn pointed a finger at Gareth.
I never saw bruises, which is why I didn't intervene in their relationship. He ignored her, certainly, and as a result, she retreated to her own world. She wouldn't leave him. She denied any wrongdoing on his part. She was a simple girl at heart. I know that she married him under duress, having fallen in love with that man-at-arms, Bricken. But it was my impression that she grew to love her husband and turned to drink because he didn't share her love.
Taryn's shoulders lifted and then fell in resignation.
It's not an uncommon story.
When was the last time you saw Bran?
Gareth said. Taryn raised his brows.
Why do you ask?
Now it was Gareth's turn to shrug.
It may be that he had something to do with her death.
Really?
Taryn said.
I'm disappointed, then, that I can't tell you when I saw him. Not before Tegwyn disappeared, certainly.
My informant believes that Bran and Guladis met each other in Wenna's hut during their affair, which ended before Tegwyn's disappearance. Bran knew this area well enough to know about the hut, and given that Tegwyn's body was found at the hut...
Gareth's voice trailed off with a look of astonishment on Taryn's face.
What?
Bran was Guladis's lover.
You didn't know?
Gareth said, suddenly confused himself. He thought he and Taryn had been in accord.
No, I didn't know it was he, Taryn said. I thought it was Griffith, Tegwyn's grandfather.
Gareth almost choked on his own saliva.
That's not what I was told.
Taryn sat back.
It would make more sense if it was Bran. Griffith has always been a friend, and that spring he'd broken his leg, which was why I felt I was wasting my time at Eber, when I could have been serving Owain in the field.
So you never saw Bran at Eber, Gareth said.
All these years, and I never harbored a suspicion against him.
Taryn shook his head.
I would apologize to Griffith for misreading him, but Guladis's affair was not common knowledge. Or so I believed until now.
He glared at Gareth. Gareth put up both hands, palms out.
I will tell no one. I only brought it up because it seemed you already knew.
Taryn subsided, still looking disgruntled.
I will have to speak to the king.
Gareth was glad that task would not be his.
So, if I may ask again, when did you last see Bran?
I was about to repeat that I didn't, but...
Taryn put up his finger again.
Give me a moment.
He pushed to his feet, went to a shelf on the wall, lifted out a heavy book, and began flipping through the ancient pages. Gareth had seen the book before, though he'd never been given the opportunity to read it. It was an account of important events in Eber since its founding, all the way back to Rhodri Mawr.
Here it is. It was the 22nd of April. Bran ap Kinnan, Lord of Rhos, rode to Eber to tell of the disappearance of his wife, Tegwyn Firk Cadwashan. May I see that?
Gareth rounded the table and read where Taryn pointed.
I don't understand.
Taryn spread his hands wide.
What's there to understand?
Tegwyn's grandfather, Griffith, told us that Tegwyn disappeared on the Feast of St. Bueno, which I believe is only 2 days earlier.
Taryn closed the book and looked at Gareth.
Bryn Irin is only 10 miles from Eber. He could have easily ridden this far in a day.
Except that he was supposed to be fighting in the east. I wouldn't have thought that he could have known of her disappearance yet, much less reach Eber so quickly.
Perhaps when Prince Howell returns, he can shed light on these events.
Taryn put the book back on the shelf.
Why didn't you send word to Griffith that his granddaughter was missing? Gareth said.
Taryn shook his head.
Now that I've seen the writing and the date, I remember Bran's visit, but little about it other than the fact of Tegwyn's disappearance.
His brow furrowed.
I do believe he told me that he had already informed Griffith that she was gone.
Griffith claims otherwise, Gareth said.
I can't tell you any more than I've said.
Taryn pinned Gareth with a sharp look.
Where is this going in your head?
Griffith and Bricken both accused Bran of killing Tegwyn. I have no other suspects at the moment.
Given that he's dead, he is certainly a convenient one, Taryn said.
You don't believe he could have done it?
Wouldn't it have been smarter to murder her near Ros? And if he wanted to hide the body, there are smarter things he could have done with it. Why bring her all the way here?
Perhaps because he was already here, Gareth said.
Are you sure that he couldn't have met Guladis during that same time period?
Taryn lowered himself back into his chair.
I do sleep, you know.
Maybe he was smart enough to kill her far away from Bryn Idden, where nobody would suspect him if the body was eventually found, Gareth said.
Did Bran get along with Cadwallader?
Taryn snorted laughter.
No, they hated each other.
Do you know why?
Taryn's eyes narrowed as he thought.
In truth, I couldn't say. Bran was a good 10 years younger than Cadwallader, so it must have been something that happened once they reached manhood.
Maybe they were too much alike.
Taryn eyed Gareth, his lips twisting in a wry smile.
Thinking always of themselves and nobody else. You may be right.
Gareth left Taryn to his work. Walking away from Taryn's office, he reflected on how much he was growing to despise this investigation. He had never been one to gossip, and he didn't enjoy accumulating other people's secrets the way Howell did. Had he wanted to know that Guladis was unfaithful to King Owain? No, he had not. And at this point, he didn't know if her activities had any bearing on Tegwyn's disappearance and death, beyond informing him that something wasn't right in Bran's relationship with Tegwyn. It occurred to him that nobody had yet told him if Bran himself had wanted something different in a wife, and had married Tegwyn only because his father made him. At times like this, Gareth was glad he wasn't born a nobleman. The great hall was filled with sleeping guests, and Gareth paused to listen to the chapel bell toll for prime. Many would be rising now that the sun was up, and Gareth might not have a single quiet moment for the rest of the day. He turned on his heel and left the hall. Standing on the top step, Gareth beheld the courtyard, which was already filling with villagers coming into Aber to spend the day, anticipating rich meals, gossip, and entertainment. Mylir and Gwalkmai had sung for everyone last night, and had even coaxed Gwen up on the dais for one song at the end. They would play on and off for much of the day. King Owain had also arranged for jugglers and storytellers, some who would sing and some who would not. The most important event of the day, however, would be Tegwyn's funeral. Gareth had some time before then, so he pointed himself towards the stables, thinking that he would saddle his horse and roused one of the castle's men-at-arms to ride with him to Wenna's hut. When he arrived at the entrance, however, Godfred and his Danes blocked the way inside, in the midst of a heated discussion. Gareth stopped a few feet away. He'd picked up some Danish over the years, but not enough to make out more than one word in three when they were speaking so quickly. After a moment, Godfred spotted him and sliced his hand through the air, cutting off all discussion. Gareth took that to mean that he should approach.
What's wrong?
One of my men is missing, Godfred said.
Gareth raised his hands and dropped them in a gesture of disbelief.
I don't know what to say.
Then Godfred's eyes focused on something behind Gareth. He turned to see four gravediggers with heavy shovels on their shoulders depart through the main gate.
When is it to be?
Godfred said.
Before the evening meal.
Gareth turned back to Godfred.
There's plenty of time for a thorough search. What is your man's name? Where have you looked? And why would he have gone?